B-Pod Studios.
This is...
That's so dumb!
Velger.
Oh, you idiot!
Mass.
Holy crap!
Velger and Mass.
I hate that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
If it's just Tatum against Zion, I think it would be in a broader context. Boston still... If Boston were to put Tatum in a deal, I think they... that elevates itself over any other deal, including the number one pick. And but I think if Tatum were available, the one thing New Orleans would really like to get in among all the things they're after for Anthony Davis is they want a player, potentially, they want to feel like we're going to get a guy who has all NBA potential. Not all-star potential. A lot of guys can make an all-star team or two, but an all-NBA guy, meaning first, second, third team, potential top 10, 15 player.
Hey, Adrian Wojnarowski on Jason Tatum. He's now on the clock. Pelicans don't make the trade for Anthony Davis. Doesn't feel like they even came close. Feels like they wouldn't even return Lakers' call. Why? They think they have a chance at Jason Tatum. So Jason Tatum's now on the clock. Because last 3 months as a Celtic. How do you feel about that?
I'm okay with it.
That's on the table. You're okay. Yeah. You're okay. Because as Woj puts out, you know, like the Pelicans are also smart to wait and see, well, where does Zion Williamson go? Where does the first overall pick? You wait for the ping pong balls in May. And if the Knicks end up with that pick, you know, Zion Williamson, that's something you can sell to your fan base. And do you trade Anthony Davis for the next Anthony Davis and Zion Williamson? And Woj's point there is, what's more valuable to you, Jason Tatum or that first overall pick for Zion Williamson?
Jason Tatum.
So...
Look, I don't love the idea that these could be his final months in a Celtic uniform. I like the player. I've liked him since the day he got here. So, of course, but what's the saying? You got to give up something to get something.
Here's a guarantee for you now. Ainge and probably the Celtic media is now immediately going to turn and say, they're not trading Jason Tatum.
Of course.
Just wait. Just wait. Because they don't want to create a stir and they don't want it to upset the team and they don't want to upset Tatum. So,
well, someone's going to have to be named, so it's going to piss somebody off.
Take this to the bank. Take this to the bank. My friends at NBC Sports Boston, whatever. Matt Forsberg, the people that cover the team, guaranteed. They're not trading Tatum. Just wait. You know that's coming.
Well, sure, because they got to keep everybody, you know. They
happy,
gotta
be, exactly.
Yeah, they got to make sure the good chip lollipop stays afloat here for the next 3 months. And then come summer, Ainge is going to try to make the deal without Tatum.
There's no question.
Well, just like the Durant thing, you can't squash the story, so someone's going to get upset. Even if they try to and say, well, now Tatum's not going to be on the board. Well, what, so now Jaylen Brown's not going to? Gershon Yabusele. Someone's going to end up butthurt about this.
Well, if it's not Tatum, then it's everybody else.
Well, right.
So that's something they have to manage. And they'll do it. They'll artfully do it. You know, no one's going any. They'll change the whole narrative here. They said what they had to say to get the Pelicans to, you know, rebuff the Lakers. Mission accomplished. Now they're going to spin something else to make sure everyone's happy and appeased. Do their best to do it anyway. And then we'll see you in the summer. But if I'm the Pelicans and I really think I'm getting Jason Tatum, I'm sorry.
And me meeting this with a shrug isn't an indictment on Tatum. I'm with Maz. He's an excellent player, but there's still an unknown there. Anthony Davis is a known commodity. The guy's a stud. You make that move.
617-779-0985. Here's Zach in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, guys. I'm wondering, with all this talk I've heard about them, Davis not wanting to be a Celtic, why not go in a different direction and go after that center from Orlando? You wouldn't have to give up Tatum to get him. Vucevic? The 7-foot, he's a 2012 guy.
Okay, so we've gotten a lot of calls on this.
I mean, the whole, you know, he's
not Vucevic. How do you pronounce his name?
Vucevic.
Vucevic, right.
Okay, so you're not replacing Davis. Vucevic is just another guy. It's like, you know, if you go get Enes Kanter or Baines or whatever, that's another one of those guys.
I mean, it's not about the numbers. It's about the matchup and what you can do against equal talent. That's what it is. People get this wrong all the time. The numbers mean jack squat in that league. I mean, you know what I mean. Of course the numbers mean something, but at the end of the day, when someone's good is guarding you, can you score on them?
Tony in Boston, your thoughts.
Hey, how you doing, Felger? Love the show, guys.
Good, Tony.
Hey, I wanted to get a take, man. David Stern blocked a trade, man, many years ago for Chris Paul going to the Lakers, man. You think they'll be able they won't be able to pull none of those moves on what's going on in the league this time? I wanted to listen and get your guys' take.
I think there's something like that happened here. And not that the league stepped in formally, but I think there was just tremendous sentiment and tremendous sort of push on the Pelicans not to hand Anthony Davis to the Lakers.
Yeah, and I still think it's about LeBron. To me, it's
fine. To LeBron, to a player, to let the players control their shot like this. Yes, you're right. It's more about to LeBron than the Lakers.
I mean, I just think that what you've seen here, and this all goes back
to Rich Paul, is what it is. It's the owners. You know, I would not be surprised if the Bensons down there in New Orleans or Del Demps there got calls from other owners that saying, Del, we can't let the agents turn into the power brokers of the league.
Right.
You can't just hand this player to Rich Paul. And I just feel, just reading the coverage, I sense like there was a real, not an official blockage, but the league was against this trade. And I mean the members of the league were against this trade, and that got to New Orleans.
I mean, in a manner of speaking, LeBron has challenged the whole power structure of the NBA. And for that matter, maybe professional sports. Go back to the decision. Okay, what he did at that particular point in time is said, no, you don't pick, I pick. So then he went to Miami, and then he left them, and Pat Riley got all pissed off. And so you know what the NBA resents? That LeBron has the talent, and LeBron's one of the first players ever to really recognize my talent is my leverage. Because I can affect this league more than anybody else. You guys have to kiss my ass, not the other way around. And you know what? From that standpoint, good for him. Like, I give him all the credit in the world for that. And it scares the owners, the executives, the coaches, every single one of them to the point where they say, don't let him do it. Don't do business with this guy.
So in the off season, maybe it's a little, you know, there'll be a little less resistance because it's the off season and the player doesn't want to be there. And maybe the Lakers can come up with the best package and then they can justify it. If the Celtics don't include Tatum, the Lakers might have the best package. They might. So that would sort of mitigate that, where the Pelicans can say, listen, we're trying to do what's best for us. And it turns out that was best for us. If the Celtics put Tatum on there, there's going to be continued pressure. You can't take a lesser deal. Let's not let the agents win. So I think there's a little something to that. Here's Banger in New Bedford. Yes, Banger.
Hey, how you doing? Just want to say last year doesn't really matter. I know everybody's hype about that and say we have potential. Even though we did have a good run, Jason, I think, is going to get traded, and Jaylen Brown. Tatum's averaging 16 points. Brown's averaging 12. They're both in the 30s, shooting from three. And I think we will get Anthony Davis for one of our four picks with those two guys and probably add somebody else. I know that Kyrie and Anthony David are friends. That's something people overlook a lot. If Celtics fans aren't excited about getting Anthony Davis here, then I don't know what they're waiting for, because with him, we're for sure a championship team, and we might.
Okay, Bagners, people think that this is a championship team right now. Again, the Boston Globe, Gary Washburn, says the fact is the Celtics have the team capable of competing for a championship now. And if they could acquire a DeAndre Jordan or Wayne Ellington through a buyout, that makes them even stronger. He says the Seas are 25-9 since their 10-11 start and have won 10-11 since that ghastly three-game losing streak in early January. He said the Celtics became a different team starting with that home game against the Raptors, which I agree. Like, that game, I said, was the season. And they won it, and it's been off to the races since.
I mean, that's when Kyrie got pissed off.
And Washburn says that that game changed it, and they've resembled the team expected to reach the NBA Finals. So he says the question is, why would Danny Ainge blow up the current roster in pursuit of Davis, who is one of the best players in the league, but hasn't reached past the second round in the playoffs in 7 years, and would give no assurance that he would re-sign with the Celtics after next year? Why would Ainge do that? He says, if Ainge is offering practically the entire roster besides Kyrie to New Orleans, what does that do to the morale of the roster right now? We're about to find out. And what happens if this current roster reaches the NBA Finals? Does Ainge still have to blow it up for Davis? This was my point yesterday. It becomes harder the better you do, the harder it becomes. And the more Tatum shows, the harder it becomes. Because all the media, fans, say, what are you doing trading Jason Tatum? We're right there. Now you're going to trade him? For a guy who's never been past the second round, I'm telling you, that's going to be almost as problematic as if they lose early in the playoffs. He says, finally, Jason Tatum shouldn't be included in any deal for Davis. He's 20 years old. He's the kind of player that you build around, not sacrifice for a one-year rental. So the other caller says he'd absolutely do it. I think there's a lot of people who feel just the opposite. Stay the course with this. And that's where you're at.
Yeah, look, we all agree on Tatum. We all like him. But Anthony Davis isn't 30. He's 25. So you're talking about putting Irving and Anthony Davis together for really is like a 6 to 8 year run.
And on Tatum, you're still projecting. Like, if they make that kind of deep run, they get to the finals, it's competitive against Golden State. So if he's averaging 25-10 a night, okay, that's a different conversation. But if he's what he's been, I'm sorry, you're still projecting. One day he could be a top 10 player. You know what Anthony Davis is. He is. He's top five.
I mean, again, and I'm not sure that Tatum is a... Tatum, to me, is one of those, you know, top three on a team. Like, in I would say probably guaranteed a two. Like, I don't think he's going to be any worse than that. But the other two guys, I mean, they border on being a number one. You know, Kyrie is just ridiculous. And you can't pass that up. You cannot pass that up.
We continue with your thoughts on the events of the day at the NBA trade deadline. Celtics didn't really do anything, but still, a lot of moves in and around them on the free. Other teams got better in the East, the Anthony Davis situation. So your thoughts all day long on that. I do want to take a little trade deadline breather coming up next. We'll follow up on some baseball rule changes that we hit on yesterday and give you a Patriots update as well, all after these words from our sponsors.
Duggar and Maz, the Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's a pretty interesting story in Major League Baseball, I thought, the last couple days, which is, I will admit, takes a lot, because the offseason in baseball has been such an utter freaking bore. It blows me away how the offseasons in baseball continue to get worse. But be that as it may, I did think the story yesterday by Jeff Passan and I guess Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic also reported this stuff.
A lot of it first
that I didn't know about yesterday. I just saw the Passan story. But these rule changes in baseball that are we've been talking about for years, but I feel are now a step closer to fruition, because it feels like there's some actual horse trading going on between the owners and the players. In other words, it looks like the pitch clock's on the table. And in exchange for it, the owners are going to give the players an extra roster spot. All rosters, proposal to expand from 25 to 26. That'll give the union 30 extra jobs. The owners have also allowed the designated hitter to be put on the table, meaning the National League would go to the designated hitter, which doesn't create an extra job necessarily, but creates more money because DHs are going to get paid higher than the 11th or 12th pitcher or some utility bum at the end of the bench.
Creates a higher paying job.
So there's a higher paying job, which is going to raise the floor for everybody. So that's a concession to the players. The players want a single trade deadline earlier in the season before the All-Star break, because they think that's going to force teams in the offseason to make more moves and spend more money as opposed to waiting for the deadline, and the players want that, so the owners have agreed to that. So there's a bunch of things that the owners are giving the players, which tells me this is a real negotiation, and there's going to be a give and take, and that means, even if it means buying off the players, if that's what it takes, we're going to get our pitch clock and the 3-batter minimum for pitchers, which is, I think, two things the league desperately, desperately needs. And so that's what we hit on yesterday. I think those are real interesting things. Do you have a follow-up today?
I do. So, look, I went back and read all the stuff, including the Rosenthal story. I made a couple of calls this morning, and I've just been trying to get a better understanding of this whole thing. Let me say, first of all, the whole DH thing, that's a big one.
Why?
Okay, that's a big one. Because, and when I say a big one, big that the owners are willing to move on it. Because we talk about baseball people being nailed down and stuck to tradition and not being wanting to break, change their ways, stubborn, slow to move, all of that stuff. The no DH in the National League has been there since the inception of the game. I mean, the NL is the quote-unquote senior circuit.
Senior circuit,
right?
Baby.
Those are the original rules of the game. And so they're like the whole interleague concept thing. Think of what getting rid of the DH does. It makes both leagues the same. It makes Major League Baseball like the NFL, where all of a sudden interleague games aren't really even interleague games anymore.
Right.
They don't matter. You could realign. You could change schedules. The whole nine yards. You could play everybody everywhere all the time. None of it matters. The DH thing is a huge, huge thing. So the owner's willingness to move on that, and I think that is real, that's a huge thing and suggests that there's a real deal to be made. Now, based on the Rosenthal story, this all started a few weeks ago, January 14th. Okay, on January 14th, MLB went to the union and said, we want the pitch clock, and we want a 3-batter minimum for relief pitchers. Okay, so that was the latest change. The union just came back last Friday with some of the other offers. So the chances of any of this stuff getting done before this season are probably slim. And here's why, although with the slow developing market, you know, maybe you could really push for it, but I doubt it. You're already into the offseason. A lot of plans for 2019 have already been made. Teams have already made roster decisions, all that stuff. So now you want all of a sudden to have no DH in the National League?
And right, exactly. And your lefty specialist becomes really obsolete with the three-batter minimum thing, and so you've already paid for your lefty specialist in some cases.
Correct. So, again, and now if you go back to January 14th, the offers that were put out there were the changes that were proposed by baseball now were the pitch clock and the three-batter minimum. The union came back with roster changes, the DH expanding to 26 players, you know, minimum 12 pitchers, maybe different rosters in September, all of this stuff. And also proposed changes to the draft. If you tank, you drop.
That's another great wrinkle. Right,
okay,
there.
So there are all these things that just came back now. Now, my understanding being on the phone this morning is that MLB people are frustrated that it took the union this long to come to the table and offer up a counter proposal. They think part of the reason they did it is they wanted to see the offseason, how it went, whether teams moved or whether there was a real need for change. But whatever it is, they're there now, and I do think within a year, you're going to see a lot of these put in place.
Okay. Hopefully, the old farts that cover and run the game are okay with it. Because, again, I read my buddy Nick Cafardo in the Globe, who I love. But he's, you know, long, long, long time baseball guy. And he said things that he liked about these rule changes and things he didn't. He liked the DH change. He liked the rosters. He liked the tweaked trade deadline. He wanted to put that in conjunction with some deadlines in the offseason to get some earlier signings, which I think they desperately need, as Machado and Harper are still out there, and spring training starts, like, next week. So I'm with all that. But he goes thumbs down on the three-pitcher minimum, or the three-batter minimum, and thumbs down on the 22nd pitch clock.
Yeah, see, I don't get this.
So I do. He writes, this is baseball. So as soon as you start with that, it's like,
yeah, this is the problem.
Dude, yes, this is baseball. That is your issue. Everything else has changed and evolved. Everything, every other league and every other sport has changed dramatically. Dramatically. You haven't, and you're suffering because of it. Exactly. That is why. So, like, the people in baseball who get it, this is the way it's always been.
One stick in the mud after another.
What don't you get? This is your problem. Basketball's totally different than it was 30 years ago. Football is totally different than it was 30 years ago. Hockey, in maybe not as much, but is different than it was 30 years ago.
No, hockey's different, too.
It's 10 times faster. It's, you know, the puck still doesn't go in the net, but it's a more wide-open, fast-skilled game. Absolutely. No fighting. Like, these leagues have changed. They've all changed. But the first thing to say in opposition to the 22nd pitch clock is, this is baseball.
Oh, yeah, it's
you can hear the lemonade being poured on the porch. This is baseball, you see.
Oh, dude, that's your problem. He says it's not a sport that should ever have a clock. It's the one sport that has no time limits. It's been this way forever, Ray.
Yeah, this game, this field, it's a part of our past.
I don't even like that it's on television. It should be on the old transistor radio.
It reminds us of everything that once was good and could be again. America has moved on like an army of steamrollers. But baseball has marked the time.
So I read that first paragraph. This is baseball. It's not a sport that should ever have a clock. It's the one sport that has no time limits. It's been played this way forever. That makes me want to throw up in my mouth. He says, and then he says this. Any type of clock isn't going to dramatically change the pace of play or the time of games.
Wrong.
Huh? Look at the minor league numbers.
Exactly right. Yep. Minor league, the average game down there went down to like 240, for crying out loud. And I understand there's TV time and everything else. I told you, I was in attendance for a game a couple of years ago. I went up to one in Portland where they had the pitch clock. That thing works. Your eyes are on it. Now, look, when men are on base, it changes. But anything to piss off David Price, who's going to take 35 seconds between pitches, it's fine with me. Get your ass in gear. Throw the effing ball.
I mean, that is, of all the things, I mean, I got a litany of, you know, 20 things that I think need to be tweaked or evolved. Number one is the time between pitches.
Speed it up. Cut games. Let's go.
Okay, but number one, the number one thing that gums everything up is the pitcher holding the ball in a couple seconds to gain a couple extra, you know, ounces of velocity, which has been proven. And they all know it now. So you hold it longer, you throw it harder, which leads to more strikeouts, longer at bats, less action. It's all fed off, but it all feeds off the amount of time that pitcher is holding the effing ball on the mound. That's it. That is the number one issue in the game. So sorry, Nick, you're just wrong. It would make a difference. It would speed up the game. It would help ungum the gummed up sport that starts with that pitch holding the ball. He also says any savings as a result of limiting mound visits are negated by instant replay. Another concept I'd love to see go by the wayside. Now, I'm with them on this. I've told you, I'm anti-replay all across the board because I think it's gotten goofy. Football somehow went back in the right direction this year. I think football did a good job. Replay was less intrusive this year than it's been for years and years and years. So they sort of, you know, went in the right direction. But every other sport, there's just too much replay.
This sport and hockey might be the worst. Baseball, I wish they would get rid of it.
So if you want to get rid of replay, I'm fine here. But just realize then that you're going to add time because now the managers are going to start arguing again. And that takes up time. So what's longer? Manager pitching a fit out on the field or those fat umps waddling over to the headsets and looking at the, you know, listening to the guys in New York. It's a toss-up, really.
Yeah, and in that case, you might as well get the egregious call out of the game.
I mean, but I still don't like replay. I hate what it's become. Baseball is the only sport where you get to do replay without officially doing replay, where the manager actually gets to put his hand up to everything that's going on in the field and say, hold on, guys, hold on, hold on. We're looking at it. Okay, now you can come off. Like, can you imagine any other sport like Cassidy? Like, you know, given the ump or given the ref the Heisman, like, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. I'll tell you when you can start. Hold on, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're looking at this. Just stop. Hold your horses there. Don't drop the puck. All right, fine. Now you can drop the puck. Like, just think of that.
I'll tell you what. I like the idea, now that I think of it, of like, no, you got to make the call in real time.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? You got to make the call in real time. And maybe the pitch clock will help with that, although if there are men on base, it gets more complicated. But like, no. But the next pitch has got to be thrown in 20 seconds. You got to decide.
But Nick, love you, mean it, and like all the old baseball guys, your sport needs an enema.
See, what Nick is missing, and I don't know how old Nick is now. I love him to death. But is he 60? Like, you know, it's not about...
I don't want to age shame the man.
Okay, I'm not age shaming him either. But Nick, let's say he's my age. He's 51. You're looking at it saying, it's not about me either. It's about the kid who's 20 or 15 who's looking at it going, it moves too slow for me. I'm not interested.
Do you know what, Maz? I disagree with you on that. Because I think the 20-year-old that doesn't want to watch it isn't going to watch it whether it's 2:45 or 3:45. I think that guy's gone, frankly. It's for us. It's for those of us that still watch the game.
I don't know. I still think if you make it faster, you'll draw more eyes earlier, and they're more likely to stay with you. I'm not talking about that your ratings are going to jump tenfold. I'm just saying that you're more likely to stick to the game later on.
I'm just saying. We can debate that. I think they've lost the young generation no matter what they do. But there's still a lot of baseball fans out there. So service up. Make it a more palatable product for us.
I mean, holy crap. I don't know how anybody could watch it now and feel like the game doesn't have a pace problem.
Clocks in baseball. As it is, I don't even like digital clocks. In my day, clocks were wood and gears and German precision. Those are the kind of clocks that look like furniture. That's what I want. Those same people, they're all the same. The game has to change.
There's your follow-up on the baseball stuff. You can mix that in with our Celtics calls and the deadline calls right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm going to give you one more non-NBA item, and then we'll get back to your calls. And that just, this came out, all these mic'd up shows, you know, from the Super Bowl are coming out. So we get the conversation. The one yesterday was fascinating, where Tom Brady is really the one that talks Bill Belichick into kicking that last field goal versus going for it on fourth and inches. Like Brady basically saying, no, I'd rather kick it than sneak it. You know, it's just, and Bill listening to him was like amazing, I thought, really great audio. Then there's this. There was some confusion, and I was confused too, about whether the roof was going to be open or closed for the game.
So was I.
Right? Like during the week, they said it was going to be open, and then it was open in the pregame. And it's like, oh, it's going to be open. But no, they're going to close it after the pregame.
But, you know, hours before the game, I think it was Mike Giardi, all these other, you know, NFL talking heads said that this will be closed for the game. But we were getting close, and I kept looking up. I'm like, what the hell's going on here?
Right. So turns out they had it open for the pregame and then closed it at the kick. And a couple reasons for that. They wanted the flyover, you know, sure, to mean something. You can't do it with the dome, obviously. And I also think, just having been so many of these, that it gets smoky as hell in there. With the pregame and the halftime, they didn't open it for the halftime.
No, did they? Did not.
Because there's been some games here where you get out of the halftime, especially, but the pregame, too, and the roof is closed and it's hot and it's smoky. And so if they have such a fancy roof and they can open it and close it so quickly, just go ahead and do it for. So anyway, that's what I think part of it was, the flyover and to air out the building from the pregame before the blah, blah, blah. So the roof was supposed to be closed, but it took forever. And I guess the game was delayed a little bit. Right? And so, mic'd up, Belichick or John Perry, the ref, one of these two were mic'd. And this is Belichick and John Perry. And Belichick's going to also talk to his special teams coach, Joe Judge,
mm-hmm.
During this clip. So this is what you're going to be hearing. Go ahead.
So we're closing the roof, right?
Yeah. Supposed to be closed right at kickoff.
What does that mean? How about before kickoff?
No. They wanted to try to time the kickoff with the Oculus closing. I'm going to delay it a little bit. I would prefer that the roof be completely closed.
Because there's a wind factor now that...
As soon as the flyover goes, it starts to close. How long it takes, I think it's less than 8 minutes.
All right, so it takes 8 minutes to close it. They're going to close it after the flyover. I don't know if it's going to be closed or not, so... Why don't we just kick that
Let's
way?
Go that way. Say,
if we get it, we get it. Right. If we don't, we don't.
That way there's no last decision.
All right.
So that's a, I guess that was before the coin flip because Bill's trying to figure out which direction he wants to go based on the wind factor. Okay. So two things here. Well, I would say everybody, please. Just
the Oculus.
Oh, my God. Let's call it the Oculus. No, so now there's three things. Oculus. Oculus. Oh, go screw. I mean, really, kiss my ass. It's the roof. Okay, the Oculus.
Release the Oculus.
My God, that's so corny. The Oculus. Okay, one, the league, I guess, wanted it actually in the process of closing as the ball kicked off because they wanted some sort of fancy shot for NFL Films. I mean, that's what John Perry, that's the ref, that's what he implied, that they want the shot of the ball in the air as the roof is closing? Okay. Really? Would you close the effing thing? Open it or close it? You're worried about the what? Like, would you stop?
The Oculus.
Okay?
Also, the anus.
So, like,
what pain in the ass producer was the one that was demanding
exactly,
that?
Right.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so that the NFL Films or the whoever's in charge, like, would you please spare me with this? Then I also say that about Bill, too. Dude, there was no wind.
I know, yeah. Talk about micromanaging.
The Oculus. It really, it's not, yes, it's a retractable roof, but it's really just a circular hole that I don't know how really big it is. There was no wind outside to speak of, and it really wasn't coming in the building.
Beautiful day.
So what are we, like, don't worry about the wind factor from the Oculus.
No, you know what that is? That's Bill pleasuring himself, letting everybody know that he's got every detail covered. That one's irritating. Seriously. Like, and the other thing is, because it's an Oculus... Like, you know, because the roof, again, sort of tapers, and then you have this eyeball that unravels and opens at the top, for crying out loud. It's not even like an open stadium where wind can come in from
right.
the
no,
side.
No, it's just a little
pull. He made it up.
It's a blowhole.
It is. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Or an anus.
It's a blowhole. It's a blowhole. I don't know what kind of wind you're really going to be talking about there. But, so I mean, like, but I'm actually more annoyed with whatever producer is trying to get that shot. Would you please? We've been waiting for 2 weeks. Now, we're now running late, so you want some shot of the ball against the Oculus on the opening? Would you stop with this already?
And you know how you know it's a non-factor, too? That Bill says, well, you know, there's a wind factor now. Okay? I mean, you know, I gotta worry about the 2-mile-per-hour wind going southwest because that, you know, we might be. And then he says, well, let's just kick it with the roof open. Oh, so then the wind's not a factor. Like, let's just kick it that way either way, okay? Fine. So he agrees to that. Well, then what the hell were you bitching about the Oculus in the first place?
They did get it closed pretty quick, though, because I remember, you know, being like, what the hell's going on here? And then looking up a couple of minutes later, like, oh, it's closed.
Oh, yeah, they closed it.
Yeah.
Closed. The Oculus.
Yeah, the blowhole.
Yeah. So, all right. Bill was afraid he was going to jump into another dimension.
So there's that. All right. You can weigh in on the baseball stuff. Any football items that you have, by all means, go ahead. Actually, I'll just do this real quick because it's a Patriots cut on the board, and I just want to hit on this quickly. Andy in Hartford, what do you want to mention Patriots-wise?
Hey, quick question. Love Brady. Talking to people in Philly, Nick Foles is gone. Brady is great. Brady with a broken leg next year. We got a big problem. Your opinion on whether we can get that guy... 41 points against us. I'll hang up and listen.
Nick Foles is going to be available.
No shot.
Too old.
Would you like him to be the backup / heir apparent?
Look, I would say, I mean,
he's a great backup.
Yeah,
yeah, I wouldn't rule it out, except that he's going to get huge money. They're not going to pay him.
He's going to get real money.
Yeah,
he's going to get real money.
They're not going to. So that's why it's out. It's not.
Super Bowl MVP. He was better than Carson Wentz last year. He's going to go start somewhere. He's not going to be a backup. He's 30 years old, too. Like, if they're going to get a quarterback, I want someone young that they can groom that will be Brady's successor.
But if you're telling me, like, take the money out of it, would you take a shot? Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
Could be the best backup in the league.
Yeah, absolutely I would do it.
Okay, but it's probably not realistic. Back to your phones, and we will reset some of the NBA stuff, including one of the great draft day pantsings, one of the great draft day porkings in the history of sports.
I mean, if it's possible, it's getting worse.
It came home to roost today at the NBA trade deadline. Those details and more right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
With the first pick in the 2017 NBA Draft, the Philadelphia 76ers select Markelle Fultz.
I don't have anything against Boston, so I don't feel like that. I feel like everything I do is not to prove anybody wrong, it's to prove myself and do stuff that I set goals for myself, so that's really what I'm looking forward to.
Markelle Fultz to the 76ers at number one last year in the draft. Two years ago. This is one of the great, of all of Danny Ainge's heists and just, you know, trade grand slams. Again, Ainge has only one championship, but he's got a million heists. Just a million. This might be the greatest. This might be number one. He's sitting with the first overall pick in the draft, which is the consensus Markelle Fultz pick. Consensus. He gets Philly to trade him a first-round pick to move from 3-1. Danny Ainge stays at 3, takes Jason Tatum. The Philadelphia 76ers take Markelle Fultz. And today, not 2 years later, the Sixers trade Markelle Fultz to Orlando for a late first-round pick, a second-round pick, and is it Jonathan Simmons?
Yes, Jonathan Simmons.
I've been calling him Richard Simmons because I don't really know this player. This is someone who averages 7 points a game.
Could be Gene Simmons as far as I'm
concerned. Is 31 years old, 30 years old?
30, 29.
He's 29, 30 years old, averages 7 points, is a jag.
Stiff.
Just another stiff. You asshats.
And the first rounder, top 20 protected.
So,
at best, it's 21.
Talk about Danny Ainge emasculating the top of that draft. And the Lakers, I'm sorry, you're in the same boat. You drafted another kid who couldn't shoot because why? He went to UCLA? You idiots. You idiots. You know, if the Lakers had just drafted Jason Tatum at number 2, they have Anthony Davis now. And this whole thing's a non-story. Instead, they got to take LeVar Ball. Lonzo Ball, whatever. I keep mixing up the names. Cares. Another kid who can't shoot. And meanwhile, you get the stud of the draft. So you go from 1 to 3 and pick up an extra first-round pick in the bargain. You get the player and you get a first-round pick. Now, that first-round pick you got from Philly is not as good as we thought. You had a chance to be 2 through 5 last year with the Lakers. The Lakers were just a little too, you know, weren't that bad. And so you didn't get the 2 through 5 last year. Now it conveys to this year, to Sacramento. Sacramento thought was going to be a lottery team. They're vying for a playoff spot in the West. Right now, if the draft were tonight, the Sacramento Kings would pick 14th. So you get the 14th pick.
Right, you got a mid-first rounder now.
It's not bad, but it's not what you were hoping. So take that out. You're still getting a first-round pick back anyway. And you got a player that's a future star instead of a dude today who was traded for Richard Simmons and meaningless draft picks.
Call it 2 seconds now.
Because he's such a basket case. Because he can't get on the floor. He can't shoot the basketball. He can barely raise his hands above his shoulders. What an absolute porking Danny laid on the Philadelphia 76ers.
No. He took the Sixers. He took their money. Stripped them naked. Kicked them in an alley. Threw them in an alley and kicked them in the stomach before he left. That's what he did. It's an absolute freaking heist, an ass-kicking of epic proportion in that trade.
What's it also say about scouting throughout the league that this kid was so highly touted? I remember at the time, Gasper and I talked to someone that covered him out in Washington State that wrote for one of the newspapers out there that said, like, hey, this kid's got some issues and, you know, he might not be...
He lost to Yale.
Right.
And he lost to Yale.
You take a deeper dive into his last season there. The team didn't have a winning record, and they lose to Yale.
Oh, my God. I mean, not that I knew the player or watched the player.
You didn't need to.
All I knew was I think his record was like 9-16, you know, with Washington that year when he was playing. And they lost to Yale. I mean, how do you... So, you know, score another one for Danny Ainge. That was a whopper.
Can you imagine if that pick had conveyed... Like so number one you're not getting, that's DeAndre Ayton.
So you're talking last year,
right?
The original Lakers pick.
You know who the 2 through 5 in that draft ended up being?
Go ahead.
Okay, Marvin Bagley, who's averaging 13 points a game as a rookie with Sacramento. Luka Doncic.
Who's a stud.
Who's probably the best player in that draft. He's a franchise player, if you ask me. Jaren Jackson and Trae Young. You would be guaranteed one of those four.
Okay, so the Lakers were just won a few too many games for you to get in there. But either way, that sort of came home to roost. So that's one story from today. The big story today, obviously, Anthony Davis does not move. Does not move. So whatever pressure that the Celtics, you know, injected into this, whatever promises they made the Pelicans, was a factor. It worked. It helped the process. I think another big thing was the league did not want the Pelicans to hand Anthony Davis to LeBron James and his agent. The league does not want the agents running the league. The league does not want the players running the league. And I think there was pressure from other teams on New Orleans not to just hand Anthony Davis to LeBron. So I think that was a big part of it. But also, I think your promises. Now the Pelicans are going to sit and wait for Jason Tatum in the offseason because you hinted that Jason Tatum's on the board. You promised the Pelicans an explosive, that was the word, an explosive offer. Mm-hmm. And that you would consider anyone on the roster. Everyone is open to negotiation.
That include the coach?
So, I don't know about that. So you sell New Orleans that bill of goods, and they probably buy at least some of it. And so, good for you. That's the win for the Celtics. Now, here's the bad news. Anthony Davis still doesn't want to come here. He doesn't want to be here. And it's going to cost you your best young player in Jason Tatum. So, congratulations. You are now in the driver's seat for Anthony Davis, who doesn't want to be here and is going to cost you Jason Tatum. So, but I told you that the new spin is going to be this, and I can tell you it's just a matter of time. They're not going to trade Jason Tatum. They're not. And when Danny Ainge goes back to New Orleans, suddenly the offer is going to be a little less explosive. Wait till you see Danny Ainge pull the rug or try and pull the rug out from underneath the Pelicans. Tatum? All right, yeah, let's talk about it. All right, now that we've talked about it, no, he's not in the deal. But you can have Jaylen Brown in there, you know, like Danny's going to, and, you know, he should. That's the way to play it. But if I'm the Pelicans and I really think I'm going to get Jason Tatum, I would think again. You are not getting Jason Tatum unless Anthony Davis, you know, gives you an assurance he's re-signing.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Ainge, that's the way I would do it. I also think, though, that it doesn't necessarily hurt New Orleans because they'll still get what they need to get out of someone else.
Yeah.
You know, the Lakers will still give up the same package.
Sure. And look, whoever wins the draft lottery and gets Zion Williamson, Zion Williamson is, like, that's going to be a really valuable piece.
No
right
question.
There. So if that's the Knicks, you know, so fine. I mean, I'm not telling you New Orleans had to make the move right now. I'm just telling you, if you think you're getting Jason Tatum, think again, dude. Danny's going to pull that right off the table.
So is there actually a scenario in which the Knicks could sign 2 free agents and get Anthony Davis?
I don't know.
But anyway,
no, they have the space to get 2 max guys. But
Tony, yeah, in the NBA, cap space can be maneuvered in a number of different ways.
I'm just saying if they get the number one pick.
If you send New Orleans the rights to draft Zion Williamson and then the money to match Anthony Davis, is that enough? I mean, they have nothing else to trade.
Correct.
But they have some young pieces, again, that they just got from Dallas as well. But whatever young pieces they have, cap space to match, right, salary to match, and then Zion Williamson, I don't know. You'd have to put on Jason Tatum to beat that offer.
Absolutely.
You'd have to put in Jason Tatum. So, good news, Davis didn't go anywhere. You're in the driver's seat. Bad news, he doesn't want to come here. And, 2, it's going to cost you Jason Tatum. So, the third thing from today is that everyone else in the East, up top, did something to improve themselves except you. The Bucks get Mirotić?
Yeah.
The Marcus Gasol goes to Toronto. Interesting deal. And Harris yesterday went to the Philadelphia 76ers. You're playing your best basketball. I feel like you're on the verge of really going on a run here. I think you have a chance to catch Toronto for that two seed, which is really important. I don't think you're catching the Bucks. You're six games out in the loss column with 28 to go. I don't think you're going to do it with the Bucks. But I don't know if you need to with the Bucks. I think you could beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee. Toronto, you want to catch Toronto for that two seed. They're 3.5 games ahead of you, okay? You're 3.5 games behind Toronto with 28 to go. You have a head-to-head up there coming up in the regular season as well. So you got a chance to catch Toronto, and I think that's really important.
They got to win that game.
Okay, so I think that's an important seed right there to get home court against the Raptors because you have a lot of trouble winning up there. But everyone else has gotten better. Does that aggravate you that the Bucks did something, the Sixers did something, the Raptors did something, and you didn't do anything? Does that bug you as a Celtics fan? Those are our lead thoughts from the trade deadline today. I promise, right to your reaction after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.